I'm Jane Mitter-Alderson, and I'm the Community Liaison for Headstone Project South Australia. I'd like to discuss a couple of things. The Headstone Project itself, how it began, what we do, my interest in it and how that came about, something about returned veterans and the difficulties they faced after the First World War when they returned, women, specifically nurses in that regard, who returned after the war as well, and perhaps a little about commemoration and how that's changed over the century from the First World War. The Headstone Project in South Australia was formed in 2017 by two men, John Brownlee and Neil Rossiter. The impetus for that was from the Tasmanian organisation, which had begun a few years earlier. So it's just two people to start with. Our goal is to identify and commemorate the service of all returned veterans of World War I who currently lie in unmarked graves throughout South Australia. Now, I'm sure that many of your listeners would be familiar with standing at gates of a cemetery and looking at the headstones on the graves. And these headstones are a memorial or a form of commemoration for the life and death of each of those individuals. The headstone details who they were, when they were born, when they died, whether they were wife, husband, family details, and sometimes an epitaph. And I've walked through a cemetery and I've walked over an area which I now know was an unmarked grave, but I didn't realise it at the time. And for those returned veterans of World War I lying in unmarked graves in South Australia, their right to have their war service commemorated has been negated because their identity has been lost for a variety of reasons. So the Headstone Project South Australia seeks to discover who these returned veterans are and commemorate their war service. Now, our organisation is made up of volunteers. The process is we locate these graves, search cemetery records. We need the age range to be between, or the date range, between 1870 and 1900. Prior to 1870, they were too old to enlist, and after that, they were probably too young. We then contact the National Archives Office to check their military record. That will tell us if they served overseas.
You're looking at unmarked graves in a cemetery.
That's right.
With just the dates.
That's what we start with. We start with a specific time frame of 30 years. Once we've checked their military record, to see if they've served overseas and where they've served and when they served. Now, if they're a candidate, we next try to locate their family members. They might still live in the area, and sometimes we even scour through old telephone books to find people. We're very dedicated.
You are dedicated.
And we also advertise the names of these particular returned service people of that area in the media. We hope that we will perhaps capture the attention of some reader or someone listening who might be able to tell us, well, actually, that is a family member that perhaps we didn't even know was involved in the war. We then work with the Department of Correctional Services at Mobilong, and they construct for us a simple pedestal headstone and base. They build that for us. We go through the Adelaide Cemetery Authority, or Centennial Park, to make contact with the foundry, which creates the plaque. And we provide evidence that the returned veteran did indeed serve, so we prove that through their attestation papers, so we can obtain permission for the Rising Sun crest to be put on the plaque. After that, we organise a working bee to tidy up the gravesite, erect the headstone and plaque, and organise a dedication. We incorporate about 8 lines of text on that plaque. That includes the returned veteran's service number, rank on discharge, full name, birth, death, family details, and an epitaph. And we invite family members and members of the South Australian Parliament. Last year at Port Pirie, we had the Premier, Stephen Marshall. That was wonderful at our dedication. Mayor, local councillors, community groups, RSL, and we welcome members of the community itself. In fact, at Port Pirie last year in July, we actually had a family member who let us know how pleased they were that we had actually gone to this trouble, that we had actually found their family member and commemorated their service in this way. And we were very touched by that. There were about 100 people in attendance, actually, on that occasion. So the community is interested in what we're doing, and we're really pleased about that. Currently, we've discovered about 130 unmarked graves of the World War One returned veterans in South Australia, but we estimate there are probably about 1,000 throughout the state and possibly about 12,000 Australia-wide.
That's an incredible amount. They've sort of fallen through the cracks.
Yes, and that's so unfortunate. And we really do want to redress that situation. It's very important, we feel. Our current cemetery research sites include Williston, Kimber, Port Augusta, Cheltenham, Morphett Vale, Brighton, Taylor Bend, West Terrace, Condowry, Bury, and continuing at Port Pirie too. And this year we aim for commemorations at Williston, which is outside Gawler, and we have 8 there currently, and Cheltenham, we have 4 there presently, and we hope this year to commemorate at both those locations. If I could just talk briefly about our structure, it is rather fluid to some degree, where we try to fit volunteers into the areas that most interest them, and they're welcome to move between these areas. We have researching, undertaking preparations in cemeteries themselves, and that might include search activities, database management, working with suppliers and sponsors, arranging headstone dedications. That might be arranging and preparing the site, the conducting of the dedication, liaising with the Office of Australia War Graves, formalising administration and organisational structures. That might be things like developing policy, a government liaison. And my role, which is liaising with community groups, people in the community, state and local government, the families of the deceased, and the media. There are some complications with finding these returned veterans of World War One in unmarked graves. And we differ from Tasmania in this regard. Their unmarked graves are consolidated in one cemetery in Cornelian Bay. And they have about 500 unmarked graves, and they found, I think at this stage, about 320, with about 200 memorialised. Now, they don't have tenure over graves. And so in Hobart, they can mark those unmarked graves without gaining family permission first. Now, this is a problem that we have faced here. And often, you know, when you're a pioneer, you're actually the person who comes across the difficulties first. And that's what we've discovered with our organisation. And this is the case at Williston at the moment. We can't proceed with any further commemoration if we don't receive family permission. And if we can't get family permission, we can't proceed. So we're trying to find family. We have found one family member, but we're actually going through the process of looking at this in a legislative fashion to see if this issue can be resolved in that manner. We always try to advertise and find family members, but if none come forward, we would still like to proceed with commemoration. Yes. So we do need a change in legislation, we think, in this regard.
There must be some that don't have any family left.
Well, that's right. Or they've moved away. And some, of course, surnames have changed. Perhaps they don't even know who that person is. And they may not even think, well, he or she never spoke of their war service, probably didn't even do anything. So there are a number of issues which we are dealing with as the first organisation in this state. And we're quite confident we will be able to work through them. It's just a matter of actually dedicating ourselves to that process as well, which we're quite happy to do. Unlike in Tasmania, there's no perpetuity in South Australia for graves. So when leases run out or aren't renewed, the deceased's identity may be lost forever because the grave will probably be reused. So I don't want to convey that there's an urgency about this, but it is important to get this underway.
Yes, you're quite right. It is an urgency.
We feel it's terribly important that we find as many of these unmarked graves as possible, as quickly as possible, and have these dedications. My interest in the organisation sprang from an article in the Sunday Mail in July last year, July 27th, and that was a commemoration at Port Augusta. I reflected on the fact that I had probably, but unwittingly, walked over a number of unmarked graves of returned veterans of World War One, and I simply didn't know it. And I thought that I'd like to be part of redressing that situation. And so my role in this is liaising with communities and helping get the commemorations underway. I think it's terribly important. You know, Louise, returned veterans faced many difficulties when they returned from the war. 4 years of war had altered virtually every aspect of life in Australia, and most definitely had altered those who returned. It was quite common at the time for many returned veterans to choose not to speak of their wartime experiences. The prevailing hope was that if it wasn't spoken about, in some ways it would slowly dissolve from memory. If you just got on with life, perhaps trying to find employment or re-establishing personal relationships with family and friends, co-workers, it was hoped by many that looking forward to the future and being grateful for being alive was the logical and practical way to proceed. And in some ways also, to honour their fallen comrades was to look forward. After all, they'd given their lives in the hope of a better future for those who did return, for their country and the men and women in it. To remember was in many ways restricted conspicuously to 2 days of the year, 25th of April, Anzac Day, and the 11th of November, Remembrance Day. But for the rest of the year, to remember was not actively encouraged, and it was often seen as counterproductive. We often hear of the lost generation of those killed in the war, but I think in some ways it's appropriate for those who returned, physically and psychologically damaged by their experiences during the war. We know that after World War I, with reparations, a number, thousands, returned and they were psychologically and medically still damaged. They returned wounded in some way.
I would say that they died damaged too.
Yes.
There was no help like you can get nowadays.
Well, that's right.
It just wasn't there.
Well, that's what I wonder. What might the number have been for those undiagnosed at the time with things like PTSD, the people who said, no, they're fine and they just want to get back on with life? It's understandable. The psychological effects on those returned veterans of World War I had a significant impact on their relationship with family, friends and their community. Anxiety, sleeplessness, depression, lashing out at loved ones, friends, with some even suffering emotional breakdowns. Limited understanding and treatment at the time meant many of those returned veterans felt on their own with these complications of war, and a number did take their lives. For the families of a number of veterans who died during the 1920s and 30s, the cost of a headstone may have been prohibitive at the time. They might have decided that when things improved economically, they'd get around to the headstone. But in many cases, the money simply wasn't there. Time moved on, another war began, and the graves of those returned veterans remained unmarked.
And it was a terrible time here in Australia too, wasn't there? There was unemployment.
That's right, the Great Depression.
Great Depression. Money was not available.
No. Now, those who died on the battlefield are honoured throughout the world in war cemeteries, partly funded by the Australian Federal Government's contributions to the Commonwealth War Grave Commission. Returned veterans whose subsequent deaths are attributable to their war service are picked up through the Department of Veteran Affairs Office of Australian War Graves. And they also receive a war grave, which is looked after at the government's expense. For those returned veterans whose deaths are unrelated to their war service, dying of a variety of causes, they were frequently not entitled to any Commonwealth benefit. So being unemployed in those 20s and 30s, perhaps with a family to feed, was a really tough struggle. Now, if a returned veteran died before August 1921, they were automatically entitled to a war grave, regardless of the type of death. Now, that might have been TB, perhaps they were a POW, but they weren't entitled to a war grave if their death was deemed from causes unrelated to their war service. We're also interested in nurses as returned veterans from World War I, who may also lie in unmarked graves. Now, about 2,000 served overseas, with about 400 in hospitals in Australia. We know that to enlist, nurses had to be unmarried, but often on their return, many married, and at the time, it was expected that they would take their husband's name. So in any unmarked graves, we simply don't know where they are. It's extremely difficult to find them. But through searching births, marriages and deaths, there is potential to identify some of them. We know that the impact of the war was traumatic for thousands of Australian nurses who served overseas, because they also saw the terrible effects of war, of battle, and they functioned under extreme pressure. A number served on the Western Front, on Lemnos Island, helping the evacuees from Gallipoli, in Cairo, Alexandria, on the hospital ships, the base hospitals, auxiliary hospitals in England. There was a great deal of hardship for them. I read in one from Sister Lucretia Smart, a South Australian who was sending a letter back to her family. She had enlisted in 1914, and she spoke of being on night shift for 8 nights straight. And she looked after 396 men with only 6 Red Cross orderlies to assist. Really tough, isn't it?
It is tough. What numbers?
It's mind-boggling, really.
It is.
So many of those women came back, and they were entitled to a war pension on reparation, but they were also expected to carry on, to simply get on with life. And they too were used to not complaining.
Yes.
And to be stoic.
It's the culture of Australians, isn't it? You know, just be stoic. Don't mention
right.
the war.
Yes, that's right. Yes. And that can serve a purpose in trying to continue on and take on adversity, if you like. But there is a limit to how much some people can take. And if they feel alone and desperate, terrible things can happen. This is the unfortunate part. Now, in relation to funding for us, we're a volunteer organisation. The cost of each grave is approximately $800. We received funding from the Premier, Stephen Marshall, for 3 years, $10,000 per year, which we're very grateful for. And the Department of Veterans Affairs has subsidised the bronze plaques, which we provide for the headstone. It's quite a lot of work that goes into, actually, this commemoration and going to these places as well, of course, especially in these rural areas. It's a big state, and so there are a number of costs associated with that as well. And in fact, we're currently seeking to obtain deductible gift recipient status to enable taxable deduction contributions, which we think would really help. We're very grateful to our in-kind sponsors, and their help's been invaluable. We really couldn't work without them. But we'd love more. We'd love much more.
Yes, we always want more.
It's true. In relation to why do we commemorate these returned veterans from World War I? Something which interests me is the concept of commemoration and how it's changed over the century from World War I. After that war, we saw commemorations such as honour rolls, obelisks, statues, fountains, rotundas, avenues of honour, stained glass windows, military cemeteries, of course. They also included battalion crosses, pine trees, light horse memorials, sporting honour rolls of trade unionists, and business and community organisations. But we know that concepts of commemoration change over generations, and they're now perhaps more inclusive and seek to recognise not solely the fallen, but those impacted more broadly, including those who survived. So commemoration isn't static, it's constantly evolving. And I found a very good example of this in the United States, which is the Korean War Veterans Memorial to commemorate those who fought and died in Korea in 1950 to 53. And this was dedicated in 1995 in Washington, D.C., near the Lincoln Memorial. And it's considered a dynamic memorial. It has a mural wall, which is approximately 15 metres long, in the form of a triangle intersecting a circle. And within that walled triangle, there are 19 stainless steel figures of approximately 2 metres, so about 7 feet tall, and they weigh about 500 kilos. These figures represent a platoon on patrol, and they're drawn from the Marines, the Army, Navy and Air Force. They're in full combat gear, and they're dispersed between stripes of granite and juniper bushes, which mirrors the harsh terrain of Korea. When the 19 figures are reflected in the granite wall, they're double, so they're 38. That represents the 38th parallel, of course, between North and South Korea. And inscribed within the granite wall is the statement, "Freedom is not free." And I think many of the returned veterans of World War I would have realised that the price they paid was the hardship of survival, the hardship of returning to a life which would never be the same for themselves, their families and their communities. The values of the Headstone Project in South Australia recognises the dynamic of commemoration, and we do this through developing awareness within the community of the rights of these returned veterans of World War I in unmarked graves to the regaining of their identity and the recognition of their war service. And we endeavour to make the past relevant in today's world, where there's still war, still return veterans suffering PTSD, and the complications of that within family, friendship groups, workmates and the community, and the recognition that there isn't a use-by date when it comes to the relevance of those returned veterans of World War I currently lying in unmarked graves in South Australia.
You're wanting volunteers?
We do. They don't need to be a researcher. They don't need any skills to be a researcher. And if they don't have that particular interest, they can actually do other things in relation to helping me, for example, with working with the community, contacting people within the community, state government, local government. They can also volunteer if they'd like to, working within the cemeteries themselves. We have to have working bees to actually tidy up many of these unmarked graves. They haven't been cared for. So before we have a commemoration, we actually need to spruce them up and put the headstone and the plaque on, of course, which we are doing. If we can have volunteers to help us with that, that would be great too. So there are a number of areas. People don't need to feel locked in.
No, so there's any of indoor them. Work, outdoor work.
That's right. And people can move about as well. If they think, well, I'd like to do a bit of the research, but now I'm tired of that. What else can I do? There's a myriad of choices. We're only too happy to have people move about and try and develop different skills, actually, yes, through this.
Okay, so how do they contact you, Jane?
Well, we have our website, and on the website we have our contact page.
So it's www.
The Headstone Project, that's all one word, -sa.org.au. And we also have our Facebook page, so we'd love them to like us on that. And, you know, Louise, our website's terrific.
It is,
actually.
Yes. I was sitting in there this morning having a look at it, and it's some wonderful things on there. And I love the videos, the one
yes.
with in the trenches there, over the top. It's just amazing.
Yes. It's very powerful, isn't it?
It is very powerful.
Yes. Mm. And so if people have a look, I think that it's very engaging and that they will be engaged with it. I'm hoping that will give them the momentum. If they're thinking, I'd like to do some volunteer work, not quite sure what I'd like to do, we'd love them to contact us. As I said, there are a number of choices for them. They don't need to be confined to one area. This is an ongoing project, so we welcome as many volunteers as there are South Australians.
You can contact Jane through the website. The other thing that I wanted to ask you was about funding. If somebody wanted to leave money to your organisation, is that a possibility as well?
Yes, it certainly is. That would be a tremendous gift, not just to this organisation, but to the people who are still in unmarked graves, those returned veterans.
Yes.
What a great gift that would be.
It would be, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Jane, thank you very much for coming in.
It's a pleasure, Louise. Thank
you. I've enjoyed listening to you today.
Oh, I'm glad. Thank you very much.